Crystal ball, Frank Chandler and the Regent family see a scene in Egypt and hear a horrible-looking man pronounce the name of Robert Regent, whom they have believed dead for 13 years. Thrilled by the thought that her husband may yet live, Dorothy decides to go in search of him. The present act reveals the Regent and Chandler in a native street in the city of Alexandria. Chandu, the magician.
That cute pair of red Arabian slippers. Aren't they darling?
Which ones, Betty? Every one of these little shops seems to have them by the thousands. Look, Bobby, how the merchants sit cross-legged on the doorstep. Not much like our shops, are they?
Gee, I should say not. Imagine some of our big stores with all the clerks sitting on the floor while the customers argue about the price of the goods.
None of the shops have any fronts, do they, Uncle Frank? Look, that must be a cafe.
Yeah, men sit there on the floor and the smoke from that charcoal stove from morning till night, drinking their thick coffee and playing chess. You're a long way from California, Betty.
I know. And I can't see how we got here so quick. It seems like yesterday we were sitting in the living room at home talking about seeing the Egyptian princess in the gazing bowl and that horrible man she called Roxas. And he said something about father.
Yes, and then somebody threw a knife through the window at Uncle Frank and it just missed him.
Oh, don't speak of it, Bobby. Can't bear to think of it.
Well, I can't figure out why we didn't find him or the police didn't or something. Uncle Frank, how did we get here so soon?
Why worry about that, Bob? Who knows what yesterday means? Here we are. And here's a little shop where they serve coffee when you finish buying things. Shall we go in here?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, let's do. There's a lovely brass bowl I'd like. I want to speak to you alone, Frank. I'll get rid of the children for a minute. Bobby, you go over to that shop with Betty while she buys a pair of slippers. We'll wait here for you.
All right.
They're gone. What is it, Doc?
I want to tell you there's a man been following us ever since we turned into this narrow street.
Don't look around, then, or he'll suspect you've told me. Where is he now?
Leaning against the doorway of that stall where they're selling cakes. He's dressed in a long white robe and turban.
Are you sure he's been following us, Dorothy?
Oh, yes, I am. And it frightens me coming right on top of all those mysterious happenings at home. He's not the man the Egyptian princess called Roxar, anyway. I'd know him. I saw his horrible face.
Well, as soon as we get back to the hotel, I'll try to locate the princess. Is that man still there?
Yes, he is.
Let's sit down here and order some coffee. And before the children come back, I want to tell you what I plan to do.
Oh, yes, do tell me. I have such a helpless feeling away over here, and then those robberies that frightened me so I was a little hysterical, I guess.
You know, I blame myself for not coming home from India sooner. We might have found the secret room in the house and prevented the theft of Robert's papers.
Don't blame yourself, Frank. Remember, if you hadn't spent so many years studying in India, you never would have known that danger threatened us.
Well, not only you, but...
What do you mean?
Oh, nothing. I mean, well, someday I'll tell you. But now for my plan. If we can find Princess Naji, and I'm sure we can, I'll tell her what we saw in the crystal gazing ball. And see if she will tell me who he meant by Robert Regan. And who this Roxor is.
Oh, that repulsive looking man. Look, here's the shopkeeper.
Coffee for four, Benally. Why, you're not Benally.
Oh, no, Effendi. Benally have gone to make his pilgrimage to Mecca. He left me to watch his shop. The Effendi wishes coffee.
Just a minute. Benally left no message for me?
No, Effendi.
That's strange.
Perhaps he thought you'd come later when he is here.
Well, perhaps. Anyway, this is my sister, Mrs. Regent, and those two young people coming across the street are her son and daughter. You will protect them as Benally would.
Regent? Regent?
Yes. Why should that startle you?
Oh, Effendi, I am not what you call startled. It is a strange name in Egypt. I go get you some little sweetmeats?
Yes, go and get them. And later I want to talk to you.
As you will, Effendi.
I got the slippers, Mother. And you know what? When the man told me the price, I took out my purse to pay him. And all of a sudden, another man that was standing there said something to the shopman. And
I'll say he said something to him. Sounded like he was swearing in Egyptian or whatever language they speak here. And the shopkeeper said he'd made a mistake in the price, and the slippers were only 25 piastres.
So I gave the man a dollar and a quarter.
Seemed very smart to think she knew how much 25 piastres was.
Never mind that. I turned around to thank the man, and he was gone.
Yes, sir. Vanished. Just like that.
Look around, Dorothy. Is the man you saw following us still over there?
No. Do you think it was he who spoke to the shopkeeper?
Yes. And if he was, he may be someone I should see. Would you be afraid to wait here for a few moments?
Of course not, Uncle Frank. You go on, and I'll look after Mother and Betty.
Yes, go if you think you should, Frank. I'll buy a few things in the shop while we wait.
Oh, I'm thrilled to death. Alexandria. You know what it looks like, Mother?
What?
Like a movie set. I saw one just like it the day I went through the Lasky studio. The same narrow streets, little open shops, and men in turbans walking around selling bread that looks like pancakes.
Don't call them turbans, Betty. They're tarbushes. They're just like Uncle Frank's magic hat.
Well, all right, Smarty. But it is thrilling, isn't it, Mother?
Yes, I think so, too. Look how the windows in the second stories overhang the street.
And maybe behind those lattice windows, a beautiful princess is held captive by a big, fat man with a curved sword.
Oh, Betty. If you must think up fairy tales, for heaven's sake, make them more cheerful.
Why, Mother, you're not really nervous, are you, darling?
No, of course not, dear. Well, drink your coffee, and then we'll do a little shopping.
When's Uncle Frank going to look for the Princess Naji, Mother?
Hush, Bobby. I don't think we should speak her name so loudly. Someone might hear us. Uncle Frank's going to find out where she is today if he can. We're going back to the hotel in a few minutes.
And wait there while he sees the princess? Oh, don't you hope he finds her right away? I'd love to see a princess. Maybe Uncle Frank would take me to see her.
I can hardly wait until he finds her. Just think, she may have news of your father.
I guess you think we don't seem much interested in finding Father. But of course we are. Only I can't remember much about him. And you can hardly remember him at all, can you, Betty?
No.
Well, I can remember him telling me an exciting story, all about a boy that did a lot of things. When I asked him the name of the boy, he always said, his name, son, was Robert Regent.
Oh, good heavens! What was that?
Oh, so sorry, American lady. I am clumsy. I'm not poor from here. So sorry to frighten you.
Oh, it's all right.
Come on, Mother. Let's buy what we want and go back to the hotel. You wanted to see that brass bowl, didn't you?
Yes, yes. It would be lovely for those pale yellow tulips at home, won't it?
Oh, yes. And let's look at those lovely opals in the little glass case.
Yes, you really need an opal. What would you do with it if you had it?
Oh, I don't know exactly. But there's something kind of shivery about opals.
Let's not get anything shivery today, Betty.
Why, Mother.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. Get whatever you like, of course. I must overcome this feeling of menace that seems to hang over us.
Oh, here's something I want. Look, Mother, a double-edged knife in a red leather case. See how sharp it is.
Oh, and look at the carving of whatever you call it on the handle. And the case is embroidered in gold thread. Well, I must say, Bob, you don't want much.
Oh, may I have it, Mother? I won't ask you for another thing all the time we're over here.
Well, I suppose you may. Men never seem happy unless they have guns or knives or something destructive.
Now, Mother, you know I won't do any damage with it. Isn't it a beauty?
Shall I ask how much it is?
Yes, if you like.
Oh, young Afandi have choose finest knife in store. Finale got from young Bedouin, who sell it for love of girl.
Oh, how thrilling. Tell us about it.
Oh, young Bedouin love poor young girl. He rich young man. But father not know he love poor girl. Father not send him money to stay in Alexandria, see girl. So he sell his saddle, his hunting belt, everything.
The poor fish.
At last he have only his knife. Finale buy it from him. Maybe he have killed many men, eh? Who knows?
Oh.
Finale keeps such very beautiful rug upstairs, in upper room. You like to come up?
Oh, I see. I suppose these rugs are very valuable. Cost much money?
Oh, yes, American lady. Take many, many years to make. Some are old. 400, 500. Many years. Finale not keep them down here.
Let's go up and see them at least, Mother. Isn't it fun? Like a story.
You aren't really afraid, are you, Mother? Well, we're right here on the street.
No, of course not. Which way do we go?
Ladies, Captain. Walk upstairs, please. I come up after you.
Come on, Mother.
Goodness, it seems dark up here. After the bright light in the street.
Where are Mrs. Regent and the children?
They have gone upstairs to see beautiful work. They say you come, too.
Oh, very well. Up this way?
Regents. And with them, Chandu the magician, locked in up there. By the sacred mule of the prophet, Raksaw will reward me well.